All right, the second lesson we want to look at in Children's Church 101 is the philosophy of Children's Church. The philosophy of Children's Church. Philosophy is quite the buzzword in modern church building. Everybody wants to know, well, what's your philosophy with this? What's your philosophy behind this? And, you know, basically, it is the, why do you do this? It's basically the why behind something. What's your thinking behind this? What's your scriptural basis for this? And I just want to, I don't have really any scriptures, I guess, in this, but I want to look at just about six, seven things here about why we need Children's Church and why it's such an important ministry. And it shouldn't take too long to go through this. Number one, we must reach young people. Let me tell you something. We've got to reach them. Children are open and receptive to the message of Christ. They're tender hearts. They're willing to believe anything. I mean, hey, most kids believe in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and the Great Pumpkin and everything else. Kids are going to believe you. Kids will trust you. You go up, knock on somebody's door, and you're a stranger. Adults are very skeptical. A child sitting in a seat in Children's Church is very open. They're going to believe you. They're going to listen to what you say. They're going to respect you just because you're an adult, because you're a big guy, because you're cool. They're going to listen to you. And they're open. They're receptive to it. They'll take you up. They'll believe you. They'll trust on you. By the time they turn 10 or 12, they won't anymore. Then by the time they're 16 or 18, whatever you say is going to be wrong, no matter what it is. You say the sky is blue, they're going to argue this purple. That's just what happens. Young kids don't have the bondage of sin. Now, it's scary, the bondage of sin that kids get into at such a young age. I've had 10, 12-year-old kids tell X-rated jokes before. I've had 4 or 5-year-old kids start singing rap songs that were just utterly vulgar. I don't guess they knew what was going on, but they had been exposed to that stuff. It is absolutely scary what these kids get into. We have stories all the time come up in the news about some kids doing something, just how shocking it is. I remember a story very recently, I think it was in Georgia, where I think it was a 10-year-old kid had raped a couple of 10-year-old kids that had raped a woman. Just awful. And we would think, oh my goodness, I can't believe a child would do that. Well, the fact is, that window of childhood is shrinking. And with that window of childhood shrinking, before people get messed up with all this sin, messed up with all this evil and the bondage that it brings, as that window shrinks, so does our window of really reaching these kids very easily. I'm not saying you can't win somebody who's 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 to the Lord. Happens every day. But let me tell you something. You win a greater percentage of people to the Lord before they turn 10, before they turn 12. And as the older they get, the smaller that percentage gets. I said it before in the previous lesson, I think, but between the ages of 4 and 10, right now in our day and age, is the ages you have to reach them between. By the time they get up to be about 10, they're into so much stuff, music and movies, it's going to be hard to reach them. It's going to be near impossible to reach them. We must reach young people. Number two, we must reach them on their level. If we're going to reach kids, we need to reach them on their level. We can't go up and give theological discourses. You'll put them to sleep. You'll lose them doing that. Some people try to do that. You need to reach them on their level. I think this is what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 9:22. He wrote about becoming all things to all men. When you reach a child, you need to be able to get down on their level. Some people can't do that. I know some people that they try to talk to young kids and they sound like a college professor. That's just, they think on that level, and they can only express themselves on that level. Now, I like to think that I'm a fairly smart person, that I can think on a college-type level, but the fact is, if I'm going to reach a 5-year-old, I need to get down on a 5-year-old's level. I can't talk about propitiation. That's a good Bible word, but I can't use it. I can't talk about predestination. Now, a lot of college professors seem scared to talk about that. I'm not Calvinist by any stretch, and I'm getting way off on a wild rabbit trail there. But let me tell you something. Some people just cannot get down on a 5-year-old's level. nothing against them. That's just not their people. But if you're going to reach a child, you need to be able to get down their level. You need to have a program that will reach them on their level. I think that's why the Children's Church is so important. If you want to reach them, you need to get them out of the main service that is geared for a 30, 40-year-old person and get them in a service that's geared for a 5 to 10-year-old person. I have written down in your notes here an example. Can you imagine trying to teach a kindergartner a course in trigonometry? I never even took trigonometry. I took algebra and geometry, and I had some various other mathematics stuff, but I never got all the way up into trigonometry and calculus. You know, it's just too complicated for little kids. But let me tell you something. You know, but they teach those fundamental steps in very early age. Guy wrote a book. I remember the title, and I think I may have actually had to read it for school when I was in middle school. But guy wrote a book, said, "All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." And it was talking about philosophies, about sharing and stuff like that. But let me tell you something, there is a little bit of truth in that. Still, you know what they do? They may not teach you trigonometry or algebra in kindergarten, but you know what? I remember in the first grade doing a worksheet that was basic algebra. I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, it was algebra. What it was, and I remember, I can still kind of picture it in my mind's eye, it was a page full of math problems, you know, simple math problems, 2 plus 3 equals 5, kind of about that level. And the storyline was that the little character, I think it was a fox, had spilt water and had covered up some of the answers, and you had to figure out what it was. So what it then the page would turn to would be, instead of 2 plus 3 equals 5, it would be 2 plus, and there'd be a water splat there, equals 5. And so you'd have to figure out, well, what goes in that water splat? What did that cover up? Well, unbeknownst to us, poor little first graders, we were doing algebra. We were figuring out. Now, we just kind of looked at it, and my mind works natural and that kind of stuff. I was able to, you know, look at it and figure it out, but we weren't plugging in X. Okay, so 2 plus X equals 5, so therefore we have to subtract the 2 over there, so X equals 3. We weren't doing those steps, but we were doing algebra. You may say, "What? Why is that important?" Let me tell you something, why it's important. When you reach a kid and reach them on their level, you reach them and you lay a foundation for all these things later on. You may not preach about atonement or justification or propitiation, or you may not use words, even college level words, soteriology and eschatology and all those studies in theology. But you lay a groundwork in that. You may not preach about, for instance, eschatology and the study of end things. You may not preach about that, but let me tell you something. You can preach Jesus is coming back. You may not really even get into the tribulation, but you can even talk about the rapture. Hey, Jesus is coming to take us up to heaven. You can mention those things. You lay a groundwork. You lay a basis for all the great doctrines in the Bible. You lay a basis even for salvation in what you teach for these kids. You lay the foundation for the rest of their Christian walk. I wonder sometimes if the reason why we lose so many people after they get out of high school, I don't think it's because we have horrible teen programs. In fact, most churches nowadays have very great teen programs. They put a lot of emphasis on that. What I think they lose them in is they lose them way before that. They don't lay a very good foundation before then. They don't develop and nurture a love for God back when they're in first, second, third grade. And when they get up to high school age, there's nothing to work on. Oh, they'll be fun, and they'll listen to what you say, and they'll obey you outwardly. But I think there's nothing inside. It's very shallow. It's a shame that it's that way. And hey, there's not that there's no hope. There's nobody past hope. Only God knows. Maybe somebody's crossed the line in their lives. But let me tell you something. As far as we're concerned, everybody's got hope. Everybody needs to be reached. All right, the fourth thing is that children will be saved if you let them. You know, kids are so open to the gospel. They're so easy to deal with. Honestly, if kids aren't getting saved, you're not even trying. If you're not having kids saved, now if they're all saved, maybe you don't have an influx of new kids, but let me tell you something, if kids are not being saved, something is wrong. because kids are the most open, receptive. Now, you may have the same kid come down 18 weeks in a row. I've dealt with those. Have kids come down. They'll tell Brother David when they come down that they need to be saved. And I talked to them last week. I'll get them in there and say, okay, why'd you come down? And they'll say, well, because I need to be saved. Now, okay, have you ever asked Jesus to come in your heart? You remember praying, or I phrase it a lot of different ways, but do you remember doing that? Yeah. Okay, well, did you mean it when you did? Yeah. Okay, well, now once you do that, you only have to do it once. Okay. And you think, okay, well, maybe I got it through their minds. And it's a lot more than that. I'm oversimplifying for the sake of time there. But then the next week, same story. They come back down, and they come back in, say they need to be saved. And I go through the whole thing over again. There's going to be kids like that. But let me tell you something. If kids aren't being saved, you're not even getting them a chance. You're not preaching the gospel. You're not getting them a chance. You're not on their level. The easiest thing in the world is to have a little kid saved. The easiest thing in the world is to have a little kid saved. But it takes being on their level. It takes preaching the gospel. It also takes giving them an opportunity. It also takes giving them. Some people who preach the gospel won't give them an opportunity to come down and have somebody deal with them. Listen, when I got saved, I was 4 years old. Heard a sermon on hell, and it scared me to death. And, I didn't really have an opportunity right there. I didn't know you're supposed to go down front and talk to him, but I just knew I was scared. I was in trouble, that I was a sinner, and I was going to hell if something didn't happen. And I went home that afternoon. It was Sunday morning. Went home that afternoon, and my mom knew something was wrong with me, and she asked me what was wrong with me, and I told her, that I was scared I was going to hell. And she said, we'll get you to talk to Brother Horton tonight. And that night after church, we went into the pastor's office, and Brother Horton, who was our assistant pastor at the time, is now the pastor of our church, but he took the Bible and led me to the Lord right there. I was about 4 years old. You know what? It didn't take a lot to save me. I was scared. I was ready to death. And the gospel was preached. Now, I didn't catch it all. I was young. It wasn't on my level. But I caught enough to scare me to death. But you know what? That opportunity wasn't there. I didn't know what to do. Now, when you're back there in children's church, those kids know what to do. They'll see other kids do it. They won't be intimidated by big people, by adults being around. Listen, if kids aren't being saved, you ain't preaching the gospel, you either ain't preaching on their level, or you ain't giving them an opportunity. Those are the three things. One of those ain't happened. Or, I guess, number four is there ain't nobody in there that needs to be saved. And if that is, maybe you've got a bunch of kids that are saved. If that's the case, I applaud you. You've done good work. Now find some new kids and get in there. They need the gospel too. Fifth thing, we must train our next generation to take our place. Listen, it goes beyond reaching kids with the gospel. That is the main thing. That's the main thing. I tell people all the time, I don't care so much I shake your hand in church, but I want to shake your hand in heaven. I want to make sure people are going to heaven. That's the main thing. It is the main goal. But the duty does not end there. That's only one-third of the Great Commission. We always focus on the first part, but we're supposed to win them to the Lord, we're supposed to baptize them, and then we're supposed to teach them so they can go out and do the same thing. Well, let me tell you something. With little kids, you need to win them. And number two, you need to get them baptized. I think kids need to be baptized. It was a few years, actually. I think I was like in fourth or fifth grade before I was actually baptized. I don't think it necessarily ought to be that way. It may not need to be immediate. Sometimes, it takes a little while for it to really click in their mind. But nonetheless, they need to be baptized. But the other thing, they need to be trained. They need to be trained to be good Christians. You need to be sowing those seeds in their mind about being good workers, about doing what they're told. You need to maybe even sow some seeds about what a good family ought to be, how they ought to pray before they go to bed, how they ought to read their Bible. You need to be sowing those seeds at a young age. We need to be training these kids to take our place. If we're going to do anything in our world, we need to have a good, organized, strong Christian army to advance the mission of the church. We're not going to be here forever. We just have a short time down here. James said our life is like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. We're not going to be here forever. We don't need to take the truths of God with us to heaven. We need to leave them here. We need to pass them on to somebody else. I can't remember. I believe it was Paul that wrote, the things which I've heard amongst me among many witnesses. I'm probably misquoting it terribly, but it said, commit thou the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We need to be able to train these people up to be Christians. And listen, that starts at early age. That doesn't start in the teen department. That starts even further back. We need to be reaching these kids before they're in the teen department. Tell them they don't need to listen to rock music before they turn 13. Tell them they don't need to be dating before they're 13. Tell them that they need to pray and read their Bible and tithe. You need to tell them all that stuff before they turn 13. Listen, I was fortunate basically to grow up in church. I very vaguely remember us not going to church on Sunday night. We go most time on Sunday night. I don't remember not going on Sunday morning, really. I remember us not going very faithfully, but I basically grew up in church. I do remember my dad saying that we were going to start going on Sunday night, and I was really not very happy about it because I wanted to be home. I don't remember if there's cartoons or something on, but I wanted to be home. I didn't want to be going to church. Church was boring. But it shouldn't be that way. But let me tell you something. I don't know how many times I've heard older men and women, people have been saved when they were older, say that they wish they had had the opportunity to serve God and learn about God and grow up in church and grow up in a good environment. Those of us who have a testimony similar to mine or even a better testimony than mine about growing up in church and being involved and loving the Lord at a young age, we're very fortunate. Let me tell you why I know that is, because I hear so many people wish they could say that, wish they had that past. And let me tell you something, we don't need to squander that. But let me tell you something else, we need to nurture and foster that same experience in the lives and hearts of young people in our churches. Number six, we must reach them before it's too late. I've spoken quite a bit about it, maybe too much, rambling about it, but the window of opportunity we have to reach these children gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It used to be we could get 12-year-olds to ride the bus. It doesn't happen anymore. My dad ran the bus route he's ran bus routes all over the place, all over our county, but we were running a bus route to the town of Chico, and had a great bus route going, one of the biggest bus routes. Well, it was in a church van. Our church runs a lot of church vans to a lot of small communities in our county. And he had one of the best vans, a 15-passenger van. And he'd have 10, 12 kids on it, just good, solid, and faithful kids, and kids that seemed like we were making an impact in. They're all about the same age, though. They were all within a couple of years. Most of them were friends. We kind of had, I guess maybe got into a clique somehow because a lot of them were friends or maybe related or somewhat. But, they all turned about, I think it's about 12, and they all scattered. They all disappeared. Couldn't get one of them to ride. Once they got up, they got too old and too cool to be coming to church. It happens. It happens quick. Listen, I can personally attest to the fact that kids are a lot more experienced, a lot more knowledgeable in sin at a very early age. We hear horror stories about what, a 5-year-old did in a daycare. Some kid took a gun or said he was going to kill somebody. You hear those stories, and it's sad, and it's a sad testament to our society. Let me tell you something, working in the bus ministry, I've seen some things, I've seen and heard some things I wish hadn't happened. I had a little 4-year-old boy spit in my face. I've had little 3- and 4-year-old kids start singing vulgar rap songs. We had a boy about in 6th grade go to telling X-rated jokes one time on the bus. And this is fairly recently, within the past year. And I'm going to tell you the truth, they were so, I'm not going to glorify sin or anything in saying this, but I'm not talking about just a sexual suggestive joke. I'm talking about perverted joke. In fact, it was so bad that the first one he told, me and my dad didn't even catch it. That's how dirty it was. It was a very perverted sexual joke. And it was only after he got started on the second one that we caught what he had said in the first one. It was just very vulgar, very, I just shocked. And let me tell you something, the bus routes I've worked on haven't been the rough ones. When I was in college up in Lexington, the bus routes I ran were in middle class neighborhoods. We didn't have the projects. I had a good friend of mine ran his bus into the projects, and boy, he had some horror stories, gang fights and stuff, and there was legendary incidents that happened up there in the bus ministry of gang fights and different things that had happened. And I thank God I didn't have to put up with those. I don't think I could have handled them, but I had some very sane bus routes. And yet still, I've got some stories to tell that just shocked people. I was preaching one time. I have an opportunity every now and then to preach in our church on a Wednesday night. And I told the story about the little boy. His name was Antoine. He spit in my face. He wasn't doing what he said. And I kind of knelt down and was trying to talk to him and get on to him because he wasn't doing right. And he just looked at me just hateful like and spit in my face, and you could honestly hear the people gasp in the church room. That just was so foreign. Now it's foreign out here in Decatur, Texas, 5,000 people, you know, what goes on in, you know, a larger city. You know, it does shock us quite a bit. You know, we're a little bit more rural out here, but let me tell you, that kind of stuff and even worse stuff goes on. I hear kids cuss almost every Sunday. I hear kids reference some R&B rap garbage song. Just today, this is Sunday night, I'm recording this. This morning, I had some kids trying to sing some type of rap song on there. Now, I put an end to it pretty quick. Now, let me tell you something. I'll say the best way to deal with it is to prevent it. They started doing it, so I immediately started leading some songs on our van. I hadn't started doing that yet, and depending on how good the kids are, I may not even do it, because we run a church van on our bus route. But and depending on how many the kids are, but anyway, in this case, that I could tell things were getting out of hand. They had a program, I didn't have one, so I started one. I started the program, and so what they were doing was what I wanted them to do. I was the leader, not the kids. Nonetheless, we're getting way off track again. Nonetheless, we must reach them before it's too late. We must reach them before it's too late. When I was a freshman in college, up at Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, we had a little girl that was on the bus. This is just a few months after I've been there, but a little girl who rode their buses and had rode for a number of years was killed. She was riding her bike to a friend's birthday party and went across the road. Now, I don't know the whole story, but a car hit her. She may have went out in front of it. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but a car hit her, killed her. I remember going to that funeral. Boy, that made a profound impact in my mind, in my thinking, wow. You know, we look at all this as, oh, we can stop by there next week. Oh, we can, we got plenty of time to reach these kids. You know, the fact is, we don't. We don't have forever to reach these kids. We just have a little window opportunity, not just in being able to reach them and them being open to the gospel, but, hey, little kids die too. They make caskets in all sizes. I live just right near cemetery out here, and I've been out in it a few times, and I've got some kin folks buried out there, and I've been in it enough to know there's grave markers for babies a few days old, and there's grave markers for people 100 years old. Every cemetery you go to is going to be that way. Let me tell you something. When you reach these kids before it's too late. When I was in sixth grade, I was in seventh grade. I was in the I played football. I was on the seventh grade B team football team. We were not very good by any stretch. I like to think I was the best lineman on the team. I played left guard. But that does not say much. We were not very good at all. That's why we were on the B team and not the A team. But anyway, when I was doing that, we come in one morning. I believe it was a Monday morning. And we were all in there. And it was first thing in the morning when we had football practice and stuff. And I was in there. And everybody's changing, putting on their shorts and their shirt, and these kids came in and said, "Hey, did y'all hear about Nathan?" And called the kid's last name. I'm not going to call him on here, but they said, "Boy, did you hear about him?" "No, what happened?" Everybody knew him. He wasn't maybe the most popular kid, but everybody kind of knew who he was, and really was a pretty good football player too. But everybody said, "What? No, what happened?" They said, "Man, he got killed." And I remember we were standing around some people, and we thought, "No way, man!" And I even made the statement. I remember making the statement. He's no more dead than I am. Well, let me tell you what had happened. The night before, I believe it was the night before, but over the weekend, he was crossing the highway. It was a 4-lane divided highway that runs through our town. He was crossing it trying to go to a video arcade. And as he was crossing the road, his chain broke on his bicycle. And there was a van coming on the highway doing 70 and just didn't have a chance to stop. Wasn't the man's fault driving the van. Just nothing they could do. Just tragic accident. Let me tell you something. Little kids' numbers come up too. I've heard that expression, you know, somebody dies, well, their number must just come up. Well, little kids' numbers come up too. And it may be a little 4 or 5 year old. It may be 8, 9 year old. But let me tell you something. Just because they're little doesn't mean they have a lifetime in front of them. Especially some of these kids. Boy, some of the situations they're in, it's scary. You don't know. Stepdad may snap and go in and murder them all. That stuff happens too. It's scary. Every night it seems like I turn on the news. I don't even hardly like to watch the news anymore, because all it is, well, they found 2 people murdered in this complex, and down here in this town somebody broke in and shot somebody. It's just scary. The world's in a sad, sad shape. And let me tell you something. We need to reach these kids while we can. We need to reach them. We're not guaranteed to have them down here for 70 years. We'd love to think we've got tomorrow to reach them. But there needs to be an urgency to reach these kids. We've got to reach them before it's too late. Seventh thing I have here, and last thing we're going to look at in this lesson, is get them hooked on church early. Get them hooked on church early. You know, a lot of kids have the impression that church is dull and boring. The sad thing is, they're probably right. The church they went to probably was dull and boring. I've seen some people try to lead children's programs. They were dull and boring. If I was a kid, I wouldn't want to go. In fact, looking back maybe at some of the stuff we did in our children's church when I was growing up, I wondered, why did I ever want to go to that? It wasn't fun. It really wasn't all exciting. Now, for what they did, though, they did generate some excitement. They did generate some fun. But, you know, honestly, a lot of stuff we did was kind of boring. We played the quiet game just about every week. It worked. Praise God it worked. We had a lot of kids saved. And let me tell you something. I don't know if your town's like ours. I live in a town of about 5,000 people. There's a Baptist church on every corner, and there's other churches everywhere else too. And, you know, in recent years, we've even got the non-denominational junk going on. We've got a couple big non-denominational churches now. Let me tell you something. In our church, 20 years ago, we were the only church that ran buses. Now, there's 10, maybe. Maybe even more than that in the county, maybe 15. It's amazing. Now, we may still be the biggest, but let me tell you something, we got a lot of competition. We're running bus route to Chico. I've alluded to that before in this lesson, but we were running out there, and we lost a bunch of kids because there's a non-denominational church that got started out there called Grace Outreach. I remember the name of it for some reason. They built a big brick building right on the highway. And we lost a lot of kids. You know why? Because they were taking kids to Six Flags. Well, it's hard to compete with that. Kids are going to go to Six Flags. That's a lot of fun. But what were they doing on Sunday morning? They weren't having church. They were loading them up and taking them to Six Flags. Well, they had a crowd. They weren't having church, though. But let me tell you something. I'm not saying take your kids to Six Flags. I'm not saying take them to the movie theater. But what I am saying, we need to get them hooked on church early. We need to make it fun. A lot of that comes from getting on their level. It comes from giving out some candy. It comes from having some fun. It comes from making things a little bit simpler that their mind can calculate and comprehend. But let me tell you something, that attitude that we develop in those early years carries on. I remember when I was in first, second grade, I loved school. I'm not talking about Sunday school, I'm talking about just regular old school right now for this illustration. I don't want you to be confused, but I used to love school. I loved learning. And in fact, I still do. I still love to learn. I love to learn stuff that's new. But it was so foreign to me the first time I heard somebody say they hated school, because I loved it. And let me tell you something. All of a sudden, it seemed to me like, oh, you know what? It's cool. If I'm going to be cool, I have to not like school. You know what? And I let those people that I guess peer pressure or the environment affect the way that I thought. And I got to where I didn't like school very much. Now, I did get over it quite a bit, but I let that affect me. I let that attitude affect me. And it affects your grades and everything else. Well, let me tell you something. If a kid has an idea that church is boring and church is pointless, it's going to affect how effective the church service is on them. They're not going to listen. They're not going to obey. We can prevent some of that. You can't reach everybody, but let me tell you something. You can prevent a lot of that by getting them hooked in, having fun. Boy, I want kids to think, oh boy, I get to go to children's church. I can't wait for children's church next week. And you can build some of that up. Boy, hey kids, come back next week. You don't want to miss it. We're going to have the world's biggest giant Sunday, and we're going to have ice cream and have all kinds of fun. You can do stuff like that, and that's great, and I think you really ought to. But let me tell you something. There needs to be some excitement there. You need to have those kids hooked. Those kids need to be ready to come back there. Those kids need to enjoy it. They don't need to be going up there and telling mom and dad how boring it was. When it comes time to go to children's church, they don't need to come back down there kicking and screaming and have to have mommy escort them back there. They need to come running thinking, oh boy, this is our time. This is our church service. We're going to have fun. We're going to learn about Jesus. That's what you need. You need to get those kids hooked on church early. We've just looked at a few things. There's probably many, many more, and there's probably a lot of scripture even we could throw with this and really get a lot deeper into it. But let me tell you something. It's important to have a children's ministry. It's important to make an effort to reach these kids. It's probably the easiest ministry. We'll get into that in a little bit in one of these other lessons, but it's probably one of the easiest ministries to do. It doesn't take a lot. Take some effort, take some heart, take some love for kids, but it really doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot of money to get started in running the children's ministry. But it's vital. It's important. If we're going to make an impact in these kids, if we're going to reach kids, it's going to take some effort, and we need to reach them. We need to reach them. Of all the demographics out there, of the age group that we reach the most kids, or that reach the highest percentage of people, is kids. We need to keep that in mind. We need to keep in mind that we don't have the longest time in the world to reach them. We need to keep in mind that they may not be around forever, too. You know, I filled in one time, bus route. I was back from college. I think I was back from college at the time. Somebody, I wasn't working in a bus ministry, just home, you know, for a short time. So I believe I've got the time frame right on that. But someone asked me to fill in and said, hey, would you mind running this bus route for me? I'm going to be gone. I said, hey, no problem. And we got on there and went and picked up the kids. I went visiting. They showed me where all the people I needed to visit, and went and visited, and little boy got on the bus. Never rode before, and even said, you know, his friend told him, this is my friend, you know, he's visiting, and oh, wow, that's great, and boy, you know, hey, thrilled to have you. Well, he came, and you know what? Thank God he got saved. And boy, you tell you, boy, that made me feel good. Boy, I'm feeling in on this bus route and had somebody say, boy, you know, I was walking high cotton that day. Let me tell you what I found out on the way home. That little boy lived in California. It was a long way from Texas. You know what? Where he was from, there may not have been church that could reach him. You know what? We reached him. We got that one. That's one the devil didn't get. That's a victory for God right there. That was something miraculous that happened. That was a miracle. God set that up so that little boy could hear about Jesus, could hear of the gospel. You know, he got an opportunity. We need to give as many people, many kids we can, an opportunity to do the same thing. And we tell you something, if you're preaching the gospel, if you're giving an opportunity for those kids to be saved, God will line them up. God will send them your way. Doesn't do that all the time, but he'll send people your way that need to be saved. He wants you to still go work and beat the bushes and round them up yourself. Well, every now and then, he's going to leave one on purpose for you. He's going to have one waiting. He's going to send one your way because he knows he can trust you to witness to them. Anyway, that's been a quick look at the philosophy of Children's Church. Next lesson we're going to take up, we're going to look at the setting of Children's Church. A little bit about the building and space that you need and how it should be set up to run an effective Children's Church. Until then, God bless.